That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has, and good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this Saturday morning, September 3rd. I think is what the day is, 2016. And we've got some guests on this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we'll say good morning to Tim over in Nebraska. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And we've got our good friend Paul that's on with us as well. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And we welcome all of you, and we welcome you, the remnant, here for coffee. Hopefully you've got your coffee, and we've got some poured. If you need a cup, we'll do that, and hopefully you've got your Bibles. And that's what Coffee with the Wranglers is. We start there, and hey, where we go, who knows? We just will let the Holy Spirit lead, and that's kind of how that works here. Jason, we'll ask you if you would open us up in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we just ask for your blessing upon us this morning, Father. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, Father, that you pour your Holy Spirit out upon us, Father, and that you just do a mighty work, Father, in your people across this land, Father. We pray that you forgive them of their sins and that you just assist them, Father, as they turn from their ways and they turn back to you, Father. We pray, Father, for your people to do just that, to turn back to you, Father, to look to you for the answers, Father, to look to you for their deliverer, as their rock, Father, their stronghold, their fortress, Father. We pray that you deliver your people from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, the forces that come against us, Father. And we know that they come against us on many different fronts, Father, and we ask that you just continue to open our eyes to the diabolical deeds of our enemies, Father, so that we can see them, so that we can combat them victoriously, Father. We pray that you give us the victory in Jesus, Father, that we know that we can have, Father. And we pray that you show us who our enemies are, Father, and who our friends are, Father. We pray that you station angels about us, Father, and that you just Allow us, our cup, to overflow with blessings from your throne, Father. We pray that you allow us to be blessed in a land full of curses, Father, and then a land full of wicked. We pray that you do all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
And, well, one headline I saw this morning that you don't see every day here in the country, earthquakes shakes area from Missouri to Oklahoma this morning. Had a 5.6 magnitude earthquake at 7.02 a.m. Saturday morning in south central Oklahoma. Now that's a pretty good earthquake, 5.6. And so they were feeling it as far as Des Moines, Iowa, Norman, Oklahoma. Dallas TV station, WFAA, said the quake shook their studio. So, how about that?
Yeah, the one that I read said Nebraska to Texas, basically, and app showed it pretty good section, and then it said that yeah, just 5.6 in Oklahoma. I mean, that's a pretty good size earthquake.
Yeah, that's not the little 2.0s. I know they've had some. They've been saying, they're trying to blame them on the, and it might be some of the fracking water and things like that that they've been, doing there for years. But I don't know. I always thought earthquakes were caused by God, myself. But maybe I'm wrong there.
He's in charge of all of it.
Yeah, I think so. I know so.
For sure.
I know so. And so, earthquakes. How about that? Right here in the good old USA, here in September.
Yeah, it's happening all over. I mean, you know, look at Italy and all that. It's, I think God's shaking the cage.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And there's, and not just that, but there's been volcanoes. There was a big volcano down in, I think it was South America, just the first part of last week. Saw some footage on the news of that just all of a sudden started spewing off smoke and ash. You know, again, part of that Pacific Rim, which, covers half the world, really.
Well, I think it's, Krakatoa or whatever's been making a lot of noise, and that was one of those that years ago created a situation where even in the northern hemisphere, that it brought about crop failures and several other things because of the amount of ash. Wasn't that one? That was way before our time, but still, those things are around, and God knows what he's doing on that. So I see a lot of these, birth pangs, that's what it is. Birth pangs going on. One of the ones I thought was interesting was Hanjin, which is one of the big container shipping companies. We talked about the Baltic Dry Index. They just declared bankruptcy. And basically, wherever their ships are parked, that's kind of where they're at. So,
I got a really bad connection with you. I don't know if it's a cable or what it is, but something just is making a lot of noise.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, Tim, I don't know if you've got a different line you can call on to try
let's
that.
Let's try that. Is that any better?
Yeah, that's better. Better here. How about you, okay, Jason? I don't hear that hum anymore.
Yep. Well, and one of the things is we talk about, so much of the time we just talk about birth pains. I saw an article and I thought it was kind of interesting. It says the idle army of Americans unworking men. And I just want to read a part of it. It says Labor Day is an appropriate moment to reflect on a quite catastrophe. The collapse over two generations of work for American men. During the past half century, work rates for U.S. males spiraled relentlessly downward. America is now home to a vast army of jobless men who are no longer even looking for work. Roughly 7 million of them, ages 25 to 54, the traditional prime of working life. This is arguably a crisis, but it is hardly ever discussed in the public square. Received wisdom holds that the U.S. is at or near full employment. Most readers have probably heard that perhaps from the vice chairman of the Federal Reserve, who said in a speech last week that it is remarkable and perhaps underappreciated achievement that the economy has returned to near full employment in a relatively short time after that Great Recession. Near full employment in 2015, the work rate, the ratio of unemployment up to the population for American males ages 25 to 54 was 84.4%. That's slightly lower than it had been in 1940, which was 86.4%. You know, and basically it's a, you know, it's talking about, it goes through just fantastic written article, but it's basically showing what has happened to white American men. And, you know, it's, a lot of facts in it, and it's something that you don't hear every day, but it's, you know, I mean, it's true. It's out there. I mean, you know, people really don't have an idea. They come out and they tell you the economy's good, and people say, well, the economy's good. I mean, it's like a bunch of puppets out there.
Yeah, it's absolutely. like if people have work, then the economy's good. But like you said, what was that, 7 million men in their 20s, 30s? 40s and 50s in America that don't have jobs, that aren't working?
And that's prime of working life. That's when you got. That's when a person needs to be working in those age brackets.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, and yesterday, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, you know, they came out with their employees' numbers for manufacturing employees in the United States. This kind of ties into just exactly what you're saying, Jason. And currently, government workers outnumber manufacturing workers in the United States by 9,932,000 people.
Yeah, and there's a problem. Yeah. When you got that many, because you know what a government worker is? It's dependent on the working man. And that's what we've got way too many. We've got people that are dependents. And we've reached the point where we've got people that are seeking benefits from other people working, paying taxes. We've got more of them than anything else. They've crossed over the 50% margin. And then you look at the people that we've got, I mean, that are on an unemployment or a benefit program of some sort from the state, you know, which is a dependent.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, the and you'll hear, like you mentioned earlier, oh, the job market is better than it's ever been, and unemployment's down, but it's just not that way. You know, if it were, you wouldn't have 7 million men out of a job, and I can't help but think some of those are probably some of the veterans that have come home from this unending war that we've been in, this perpetual war that we've been in for over 15 years now. You know, we're coming up here in just, 8 days? A week from tomorrow is the 15th anniversary of the attacks on the attacks, the World Trade Center attacks on 9/11. And we've been in this perpetual war, which is outlined in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And, folks, if you haven't read it, Jason did a great summary in our Dragon Slayer newsletter. I think it was first of this year. I don't have the volume number right here in front of me. But it did a great summary of that Protocols book, gave you the highlights. And part of it in there is that, you know, our enemies say that they must keep us in a perpetual war. And it benefits them in many ways. Two big ways it benefits them is, one, they make money on it. They make money on it. And that's part of those 9 million government employees that you mentioned, Tim. And then the other thing is that it kills off our bravest and our brightest, or at least our the patriotic ones, the ones that have a love for country, that go with that love of country but unfortunately believe the lie, that they're out there saving America, saving our freedoms for Americans. And so that war, that perpetual war that we've been in, well, it's not that it's winding down, but it's not as active now as it was 5 years ago. And so all those troops come home, they don't have jobs. You know, there's programs even here in little old Wyoming where it's hire a vet, and the community colleges are you know, bringing the veterans in. And, you know, veterans, we used to think somebody older. But these are in that age bracket you mentioned, Jason, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And you know, they're doing schooling, and they're offering school and business opportunities, you know, where they can find them and that type of thing. But it's a dependency type of thing, because the jobs aren't there for that. You know, there aren't that many jobs here in this country. I saw a thing on the, I got an email a day or two ago, and it said, you know, it wasn't that long ago that GM made cars in Flint, Michigan, and the water in Mexico was unsafe to drink. And now GM makes cars in Mexico, and you can't drink the water in Flint, Michigan. And, you know, I we kind of snicker at that. Yeah, that is kind of funny, right? Because they had the water problems. But, you know, you think about that. You know, it is. Yeah. Our parents, Paul, you're a little bit older than we are. You're closer to that next generation up than the rest of us are. But, you know, my father's generation and the generation before that, they did. They made cars in Flint, Michigan. You know, they manufactured everything about that vehicle and the vehicles that were here in this country, from the tires to the gasoline to the steel to the glass, the everything in it. And in just a few generations, all that is gone. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, I've seen it reported one time, that they consider manufacturing in this country now putting a hamburger together at Wendy's. That's a manufacturing job. It's ludicrous. But the manufacturing jobs that support other jobs, they're gone. They're gone. And our government, our federal government, just does everything it can to steal, kill, and destroy what few are left. You know, this past year, the EPA worked it out so that they could basically shut down about 75% of the coal production, of the coal mining and hauling in Wyoming, because a lot of that was done on federal land, the way it's always been done for the last 100 years. And so they basically shut it down, and that was over 6,000 primary jobs that were lost in Wyoming. And that's only a state of 500,000 people. So that was a huge impact. But each one of those primary jobs supports 18 other secondary service-type jobs. You know, fast food and insurance and, those type of jobs. And so you multiply that 6,000 times 18, that's the job loss Wyoming has experienced in the last year.
Yeah.
Because of those that come to steal, kill, and destroy. It's like the people out there just, oh, well, that's how it is. I guess we'll go on the government payroll. And it seems like more and more are doing that. Paul, how do you see that out in your neck of the woods?
You got two different things, too, going on. I mean, you look at, one thing is our government's attacked it, and put regulations on it, and it's taxed a lot of these corporations, a lot of these businesses, a lot of these manufacturing jobs out of business. I mean, where they, can't even afford to do business here in the United States. Another thing that you got too is a lot of people just don't want to work. They'll say that they want to work, but they really don't want to work. I only experienced that over the last couple of weeks. Spent quite a bit of time out in Idaho taking care of things, and found people that, they said that they wanted to work, but when they showed up for work, they really didn't want to work. They wanted to show up and get paid for being there.
Yeah.
They really didn't want to work. And, you know, I've seen a lot of that, too. And I've been talking to people in the construction industry. We've got a building project going on, a couple of them down here in Colorado. And, you know, everybody is having the same problem. It's their hired help, you know, trying to find decent help, somebody that actually wants to work, trying to get somebody that shows up on time. And I think that there was just, you know, there was a huge span of, you know, a generation that that doesn't want to work. I mean, and they even a lot of the white people, they've got this entitlement attitude where,
yes,
you know, something's owed to them, where they shouldn't have to do this manual labor stuff. You know, they're above that. They're you know, don't they should they just got this attitude they shouldn't have to. And they show up and they think that they should be able to show up and get paid and not have to do anything. You know, that's what I was talking with a gentleman that runs a contracting company, and he said the same thing. He said that he has people that show up, he hires them, you know, they'll show up and they'll tell him what they can do, they'll have a good resume, and they'll show up, and they have this, when he starts telling them what they need to do, they just look at him like he's crazy, like, you know, oh, they just thought they were going to show up and just be there on the job, you know, all day, and everybody wants to be a foreman, but nobody wants to do any of the work.
That's true. Absolutely,
yeah.
And yep. You know, it's interesting because there is that you know, but there is, you know, granted, there is people out there, there is some out there that really want to work and they want to labor, and you know, you see what's happened with these you know, manufacturing jobs, and I mean, a lot of them, I mean, it's just you can't even keep up with the rules and the regulations and the Medicare,
yes,
and the Medicaid, and I mean, it's They put them out of business where they can't make any money, and they've been forced to go overseas. I mean, to, you know, to China and to Mexico and to, you know, all these different countries where they're not near as regulated. But, you know, it's a catch-22 because eventually it catches up with them there where they're at also.
Yes.
You know, and it's the same thing as far as the medical stuff. You know, I've been in touch with a lot of doctors that you know, with the work in alternative medicine field and treating strokes and treating heart disease and treating cancer, and you know, it's the same thing with the medical field. I mean, these doctors. I talked to a doctor that works out of. He works out of a clinic in California, but he travels on a regular basis to Bangkok, Thailand. He travels to Tijuana. He travels to another clinic in some other part of Mexico. I can't remember where it was at, but basically on treating strokes, and he said, I can do some of this stuff here in the United States, but I can do a whole lot more for people when I get them, you know, over into Thailand because of the regulations. And, you know, it's basically, what it boils down to is they don't want people well. I mean, he said this stuff is proven. It's stuff that's natural, and it's stuff that works, and they don't want it. You know, and it's kind of the same thing of what they've done to the you know, manufacturing industry. They've done it in the health industry also, you know, and it just puts it in perspective that they come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's exactly what they're doing. And there's those that are in the higher ups that are making these kind of rules and regulations, and you know, it's destructive to America.
Well, you can blame them, I'm telling you, but we bought into it as a people. People got their nose out of the Bible. This thing went wrong around 1900 already. You know, you talk about these veterans and stuff. They kind of make me want to regurgitate. That whole VFW thing was to exalt troops that were off our soil. Well, the Bible says to make no alliance with another nation. We were not. When we were drawn off our soil, we took the left turn, and it's been downhill ever since. And when they had us in World War One by 17, when the Federal Reserve went into Act 13, in 4 years they had us in a world war. And this is where it's at. America has bought into this greed thing. And you'd ask me, Richard, what, you know, I sat here and watched farmers sell their farms and go to work for General Motors and Steelcase for all those benefits. And look at them now. Their kids have no land. They have no nothing. You have real wealth with real estate. You see what I mean? They bought into this thing, you know, and I don't know, just recently that I watched the sermon that Pastor Peter did with the pastors. It could be, I'm like, dumb dogs. This thing went south a long time ago, but the trouble is, through people's greed, and laziness have bought into this. This whole Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat.
Right.
Now, you know, when Obama come along with that 2 years of unemployment, I know of people that could have a job. They said, well, I'm just going to ride it out until it's gone. Well, all of a sudden it becomes a way of life.
Yes.
There is no ethic. You know, you got to shut the damn TV off and the news quit. Look at this crap. You know, even what's going on around me with earthquakes and stuff, it's all real. And I'm not stupid. But I got to keep my eyes on the Lord. And he told me to work. I come from two families that didn't buy into it. I have both farms yet. I have real wealth. Now, it's a little difficult to make a living off them in this thing, but I somehow survive. You know, when you put the Lord first with your finances and everything else, so you will go through this, but, you know, the 18th chapter of Revelation says, cut yourself off from Babylon so you don't suffer swift and destruction. Well, when Social Security and welfare ain't there no more, you got a lot of people that ain't got a clue what to do. They just ain't got a clue. And you have to keep your eyes on the Lord to keep your, you know, above your mind above water what's going on here. You know, Richard said something that God is about, maybe it was in the Dragon Slayer, God is about to do something great. And he is going to get our attention through earthquakes. There's two things that straighten people out is poverty and hunger.
Yes.
And
yeah.
God uses it all the time. When Richard had that thing there. And
bloodshed.
Yep.
Well, that's a cause of it. That's a cause of it. See, those grocery stores out in South America have nothing in them. They tell us that we're only a day or two from that here,
yep.
The whole food chain. It's a very fragile situation. But you got to remember, God sets the heavens and laughs. But theologically, well, you know, Richard told me a story out in Oregon and what John did at that thing with those conversion. People have never heard this stuff. They've never heard it. You know, the Bible says the law of God converts the heart. And they have been told to stay away from the law.
Yes.
And what do we have? We live by Roman law. Everywhere you go, all Judeo-Christianity is a double-minded BS. That's all it is. It's insanity. And then they think we're nuts. But we are. Well, this happened in the Roman Empire, too. They the people with the answer, they get through the lions. And they don't want to hear it. You know, I guess you got to get a little bit hard to see what's going on here. I see people suffering and stuff like that, too. You know, when I pulled out of my church and I wouldn't put my money in that plate, I tried to find a place to give my money, but the social services around here destroyed that. Everybody was on it. I was in the church, people come for help. They just needed some help managing their money is all they needed. But they sent them to social services. They shirked their duty. And I seen this all firsthand. And I watched this whole generation, you know, you talk about they sold their farms and took the benefits of Babylon, and now they have nothing. And I don't have a lot of sympathy for them, you know. You try and tell them and you're crazy, you know. And I don't mind being crazy, but I've gotten a little like Peter's. It's kind of, Pastor Peter's, it's kind of fun to be crazy. So, especially when you got your ground wire on. But, you know, yeah. That's one of the curses of the Bible, to being driven from the land. It's happened. You know, it's in Mexico now. But, see, I'll tell you what. The Mexican can't think ahead. All they can do is labor. They don't think. They can't plan ahead. The Chinese can't. My son-in-law went to China. They couldn't hire a Chinaman to run the factory because nobody could order ahead. They live day to day. And that's their mentality. You know, and the Anglo-Saxon is an innovative person. I mean, he'll sit there and launch something and invent something so he don't have to do nothing. Then he gets a involved with a neighborhood woman in a foreign country and everything goes south. It just goes on and on how this has happened. Watch it, you know, before your eyes. The interracial marriages, there's two things that destroy a country, and that's the interracial marriage, interracial adoption, and all these do-gooders. There was a town not far from me, 30 miles, Holland, Michigan, was the most conservative town in the United States, and companies would do tests. If they could sell it in Holland, they could sell it anywhere in the world. Well, that city has become totally inundated by Asians and Mexicans because of the do-good churches that brought them in. And I've had people that don't know their butt from a hole in the ground tell me that they, the churches did it. They brought all these people in here. So, there you have it.
Absolutely.
Yep. That's it.
You know, that law goes all the way back
Revelation
to Genesis. Go ahead, Tim. Revelations. And then I'm going to go to Genesis.
Oh, okay. You're going to get the beginning and the end. Yeah. Revelations 18:4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, you may not participate in her sins and that you may not receive of her plagues. You know, for her sins have piled up to heaven, or as high as heaven. And that goes right along with what you're saying, Paul. I mean, that's the, you know, they're in it neck deep. They bought in. They, you know, want that entitlement, that easy street option. And I think that goes back to what Jason was saying about people don't want to work. They have this idea in the back of their head, well, you know, if this doesn't work out, I can always jump on the welfare bandwagon or jump on the whatever they're calling it now, SNAP, or I can get a student loan and go back to school and find something easier to do.
Yep.
And you know, we see that going on. So go ahead, Richard.
Oh, just on the other end of the Bible, in Genesis 3, you know, God's talking to Adam after the fall, and he says, by the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. And, you know, I think that kind of sums it up. By the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. That's our direction. You know, that's, you know, we are to work. It's as simple as that. And, you know, we see how the majority of the people in the land have gone out there, but you know, there's bright spots. You know, Jason, sure. I think of the of your young ward that you have all but raised up the last few years. He's a worker. You have taught him to work, and he works. He's a hard worker. You know, and that's part of what we are to do, is to teach our children and those we're responsible for, especially the young men, to work. You know, and that's, I mean, certainly to fear God. You know, that's right in there. We tell them in our local Sunday school at least twice a month, you know, seek first the kingdom. Because, you know, you fear God. Now, yes, love him, revere, honor him, obey, those type things. But, you know, the Bible tells us time and time again that we're to fear God, and to obey Him, and you know, when our men do that, thankfully there is still a remnant, and they're still even in these lost generations. You know, you see that there are those out there that will work. You know, that are still being innovative, like you said, Paul. There's still some of our people that are looking, that are trying to invent things, trying to, you know, come up with, you know, with ways to work in this system that we're in.
Well, that's right. We're in a Babylon, but we're not of it. And that's the big difference. And there is an undertone going on.
Yes.
There's things they're changing, becoming aware of their food. They're doing stuff different.
Yes.
You know, I talked to a big farmer yesterday. I mean, he's got lots and lots of acres, and he's a little frustrated with the price of stuff. And he asked me a question. He always sincere, you know, but he's pretty arrogant in his own way. But, he asked me how things are going out there. I said, well, I don't really get involved in row crops that too much. But I got to thinking about that afterwards. You know, all these little farms that he bought up, those were people driven from land. And he's going too, because he has no revere for God in his practice of farming. You know what I mean? It's just amazing, really, how stupid he is, how plants actually work. You know, that's what I do, is just figure out how stuff works and get productivity. And, But my point is, there is an undertow, there is a remnant, and it will be there. So,
yes.
But the seeing, and then there, you know, these little people, hippies that go off and do their old farming, and then they kind of get over their hippie stuff, and they, but this is going on all over the country, and then we mustn't forget that. And yeah, this is going to take over, because this big farmer's going. You know, they do all the Roundup Ready, and they're just putting, you know, the hospital, we got a, what they call a medical mile here, and that'd probably be 2 miles in a couple of years, and the farmers are just keep on farming, think they're no part of it, so.
And
farmer has a more.
And what is that, Paul, that you called it, would you call it a medical mile?
Yeah, they call it medical mile in Grand Rapids.
And what is that? I missed that. Can you explain what that is?
It's not a Spectrum Hospital. You know, they just keep buying up land and keep expanding,
oh.
You know, for all the problems that people have.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah, the
so
hospital's
the, going.
The hospital's expanding. You know, down from Fort Collins to Loveland, and down toward Denver. Jason, is there anything growing faster than the hospitals?
Nothing.
I mean,
The gun shops aren't too far behind.
You know, no, they are.
They're good stores.
Gun shops are growing pretty quick down there as well. You're right. But the hospitals, the medical centers.
The hospital, it's by far.
You know, I know several years ago, Jason, when your daughter was in Children's down in Denver for a little while, you know, driving down there, since then, I think they've built at least two children's hospitals between Fort Collins and
there. They built, I think they're on their seventh one now.
Just children's hospitals?
Yeah, there was there was one when we were down there. I mean, geez, granted, that was 9 years ago, but... You know, 9 years ago, there was one children's hospital in the whole Denver area. Now there are seven of them.
Wow.
Wow.
And other hospitals being built. There's one out there on Harmony. Big medical center, you know, outside of Fort, on the edge of Fort Collins. There's a big one almost downtown Fort Collins. And so, and we're seeing this all over. Laramie Hospital in the last 8 or 9 years has doubled in size, which doesn't compare to big cities, but even here it has. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Paul, because, you know, do we have, you know, people, we certainly don't have peace in this land. Do we even have health? No.
Definitely.
No, we don't. You know, the more hospitals, the more doctors, and you know, the doctors now, we don't go, praise the Lord. You know, we have that health assurance plan, but the doctors that you see in town, you see him in the newspapers and stuff opening new practices, and it's Dr. Hashim Hakamakwu and Patel and you know, Dr. Penn and Dr. Yang. It's all foreigners. I'm seeing that even here.
Oh, it's here too.
Yeah. Well, and the health issue is one of those, and then the other one is, you know, a lot of people carry on about the freedom issue, but you've got the, what is it, prison industries or whatever, and I was just reading some things the other day about practically every prison in the United States is now privately run or privately owned under contract with a guaranteed number of beds. I mean, we got the same thing going on there, you know. I mean, as far as they want, it doesn't really matter as far as that goes, and they're making money off of that. I mean, it has become a revenue generator, I think that's what the words that they like to use. And it's like, you know, it just leaves you wondering what goes on there. I mean, so who do you suppose owns? I'm sorry, Paul, what was that? Who do you suppose owns those? Well, yeah, yes, I agree. It's, yeah, I'm sure that it's definitely some kind of a financial, more than likely. And I wonder, are they outside the country companies? Are they Jewish owned? Are they what? You know, I'm sure that it is.
You're talking about international, all international business now. It don't, you know, and it, the Bible says you'll make merchandise of my people. Now, see, they want that room full just because of all the food service, everything else that goes with it. It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
You know, it's huge. See, and this buy local thing is having an effect on this economy, too. And I talked to a couple of guys that work for food suppliers, too, and they've been out to California and see it, too. And then I talked to them, and I can't, just popped in my mind. They've been out there and said, you know, the quality of food that they can get is just deteriorating severely.
Yes.
The restaurants, they go, it's so competitive. You know, there's just no fun doing business anymore because nobody appreciates anything. You know, and that's why it's really important to live with a grateful heart. You know, that's something I've had to learn in my older years, too. Is I was kind of more like Jason and Zach. They're kind of driven, you know. I used to be like that, too. But you got to take time to smell the roses and be grateful. You know, this is the day to let us rejoice and be glad. And I say that every morning. So, almost.
Absolutely.
Amen.
So, this hope, there is a remnant, and it will be a remnant. You have to get that through your head. We can't save everybody.
Amen. That's a good point. And amen. I think that's one of the points that, you know, everybody needs to remember. And you know, that's the way kind of people we are, though. We tend to want to save everybody and everything, and it is going to be a remnant. I think that's a very valid point. I know that's one thing that I got to remember on a regular basis. You ain't going to save everybody. Everybody there, you know, everybody don't want saved.
No.
Absolutely.
But you know, Jason, I before I became a Christian, my dad told me that because I would just I would just get so upset. You know, you'd see, you know, rapes or killings or this or that, and oh, it would just, you know, and I'd talk to my, and we weren't Christian. I mean, we'd gone to church, but we weren't Christian, and I just, you know, oh, I'd get so upset about it sometimes. And I remember him telling me, he'd say, son, you can't save the world because the world doesn't want to be saved. And, you know, you read all back through the Old Testament. That's why reading your Bible is so important, because it is our history. And you see that time and time again, the people, no, we don't want you as king, God. We want to be like everybody else. We want to have a king like the Chaldeans and like the Egyptians and like the Assyrians over here. We want to be like them. And it you know, we've always been that way. But in that, there has been that remnant that has said, wait a minute, this is wrong. This is not supposed to be this way. You know, it's not. We're not supposed to have our jobs over everywhere else, you know. Wasn't it George Washington that talked about having no foreign entanglements way back at the founding of this nation? And so, you know, there is that remnant. And that's not, you know, that's just the opposite of that Judeo-Christian, that ungodly, antichrist, Judeo-Christian ethic that's pushed out there. Because they want everybody. Come one, come all. Isn't that what the goddess there says in New York Harbor, emblazoned on her? Send me all you got, all your trash. Send it to me. And we think that that's a good thing. And it's just not. It's not. It is only a remnant. Doesn't the Bible say, though, Israel, and that's us today, the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Celtic, Germanic, and kindred people, that's true Israel today. The Israel of the Bible. And God says many times throughout, though Israel be as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore, only a remnant will be saved. Because it's only a remnant that return to Him. That say, wait a minute, this is not, you know, the way things are not the way things are supposed to be. I remember our pastor saying that time and time again from the pulpit. But this generation, and it was mentioned earlier today, this generation, probably two generations now, they don't know. They've, you know, their parents and grandparents forgot God and His law, so He forgot them. And that proves Hosea 4:6. That's happened. And it's gone as far as they've even forgotten how to work. And you mentioned that, Jason. They have. The two generations here, they absolutely just... they don't know how to work. Oh, they know how to go to a convenience store and maybe stand behind the counter and, you know, swap money out, learn how that register works, and they'll keep that job for a year or two till they either steal money or you know, get tired of that. But yeah, they don't know their God. They don't know how to work. They certainly don't know what sin is. They've been taught everything goes. And I think, you know, that... I think it's Christ Himself. I'm not sure where it is. It's in the Gospels there, where He said they wouldn't have known sin if I hadn't have told them what it was. Something along those lines. I'm still early. Didn't have all my coffee this morning. But that's where we are again in our land and with our people. They don't know what sin is. They don't know that homosexuality is wrong. They've been brainwashed for two generations to accept it. The interracial marriage, that is just, you know, man, that is promoted as hard. I mean, it's just commonplace anymore. You in magazines and in everything that is put before our people's eyes. You know, not to mention homosexuality and abortion and even murder. It's just the way of life to these people anymore.
Well, in that sermon that a couple of weeks ago, August 21, the sin that became respectful, Pastor Peter Sewitt, the people of Israel were sinning and, you know, come under judgment. He said, well, where did we sin? He said, they didn't even know. Yeah. And then, well, your father sinned and you sinned even more than us. But these people didn't even know. And those are the same shoes we're standing in today. People don't know what sin is. I mean, it's, you ask people what's in it, they ain't got a clue.
Right.
What's anything God don't like? You know, that's about as close as they can get. And, but, yeah, and another thing, you talk about these people, you know, I was in a divorce court probably, you know, 20 years ago with a guy, and I watched these people, these young men that were hardworking, willing to do people in the court, just beat them up and gave that woman anything she wanted. And I watched them walk out there so frustrated they couldn't do anything about it. And the court system and everything, they either, see, one of the oldest tactics of war is divide and conquer. If you can divide the home, you got a real step forward for your system.
Absolutely.
When you can't divide,
absolutely.
When you can't divide that man, got something. See, one, probably one of the only reasons I married is, I said before God, I do, and I said, and I knew I said it before, and that's what makes the difference, is your word's gotta be good. If your word ain't no good, you ain't no good. And, you gotta have it. You can't let someone get between that. And yet, what people do is you're between you and God, what they do. If you were gonna do it God's way, you don't go for it. And that's the only thing that'll take us through it, so.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that divide and conquer. You look at what's happened, because that very thing has happened in the black community in this land. In the black community, yep. Because the enemy, those that steal, kill, and destroy, have taken the black man out of the black home. And they have destroyed the black community as a result. And there's just no, well, I see it no other way. And it's just practice for us, because they've already done that with the blacks, and then it didn't miss a beat, and it moved right into to our people. And that's exactly what's happening.
Well, you got it exactly backwards, Richard, because it went into our people and it spread over to them. The black people, the other people, do not have the moral character that we should have.
No.
The Adamic race was sent here to bring law to this thing, and then Adam failed, and Jesus called the second Adam. It's a breakdown. When we break down, everybody else breaks down.
Yes.
You look at all the blacks blaming the white, and it's black-on-black crime, and there's a black man in Milwaukee who said, this is black-on-black. You don't blame the white people for it.
Yeah.
But we are to blame because we have let the law go.
Yes. Yes.
We have a law written on our heart, and the missionaries, you know, they go there. Well, they teach them.
They've made it to the point where you can't enforce the law. I mean, they've right. outlawed the law of God, basically, is what has happened in this
yes.
land. God has been outlawed. I mean, enforcing the law of the land, their law of God, has been outlawed also.
Yes.
Absolutely. If you bring it up, they'll hang you.
Yep.
So, well, yeah, but we let it go. But, you know, the Bible says, you remember where it says, go into your houses. You know, this we can't stop this by ourselves, but we will be the part that picks up the pieces.
Right. We will. We will. And we will persevere through it. And that's the other thing we're to do is, you know, when we see these things, and we all do have that mark of Christ, that sighing and groaning out that you read about. I think it's in Ezekiel and then I think again in Revelations, it's that sighing and groaning out. It's looking out and seeing, oh God, you know, how long, oh Lord, how long? And trying to warn the people, trying to let them know what sin is. You know, thank God above that we had a pastor that called sin, sin. And that God himself, that the Holy Spirit called each and every one of us out of that darkness of sin, out of the darkness that this fallen world has fallen into, and, you know, converted us to junkies, as Pastor used to call us, truth junkies. Remember, that's what he would say. You know, hey, the people that were attracted to him, they just wanted the truth. You know, and if the truth means that you know, you have to change your life, well, guess what? You have to change. Truth is truth. It hasn't changed in 6,000 years. And it won't change in the next 600,000 years. God's truth is truth. His word is truth. His law is law. Didn't Christ himself say that he didn't come to do away with the law? You know, if the people would read that and not listen to the dirty birds in their pulpits at these false, ungodly, antichrist, Judeo-Christian churches, you know, read your Bible, folks. How many times would Pastor say that when he would read something from the Bible? He'd say, don't believe me. You go read it. Because isn't that what God expects us to do?
When the Bible says something, it's the end of the matter.
Yeah.
No matter who says it.
Right.
You know, there's Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, Pastor, Bill says them.
Right.
So right. On every full, all four of those guys got high prices. So,
yeah. Yeah. Paul, what's your opinion on Dodge trucks? Do you have an opinion on Dodge trucks?
I like it when they run. That's all I know. Okay.
I know Jason. Jason has a pretty good opinion of Dodge trucks, and it might be a little different than Tim's opinion of Dodge trucks, and that's a little different than my opinion of Dodge trucks, and you know, but you know, our opinions are just that, opinions. And I just say that because, like you said, Paul, the truth is what the Bible says. And so our opinions don't matter when it comes down to the Word. When it comes down to God's law, to the Bible plan of salvation, to who His people are, to Bible truths, our opinions don't matter. It's what the Word says. Did you had something there, Jason?
No.
Oh.
But, you know, they just talk love. And you go in there and speak a little truth, you'll see how much love is there. You know, I was made a deacon at an early age in life, and it was God that did it to me. I know that because He wanted me to see it firsthand. But I stood up to them jackasses. And these guys are, two of them in that room were multimillionaires, farmers, for whatever that's worth, don't mean nothing. But I stood up to them, and I didn't really know that much. I knew, I just figured out they didn't know nothing because they didn't really care about the Bible. And I stood up to them. And when I would walk into a room for years, then people would make effort to get out of it real quickly, both of them. Now, I've talked to both of them more recently. They're more cordial than they used to be because maybe things are changing their life. But I didn't really know what I was doing. I mean, I didn't know all I know now, but I just knew they didn't. So, anyway, they talk about love. They have about as much love. As long as it's going their way, they love you, what it amounts to.
Well, I think we've all been up against that when we see when you know, it kind of goes back to that verse, you know, if I tell you the truth, have I become your enemy? And you definitely can understand when they said that, how they felt. Because sometimes when you go in and put that out, you definitely don't feel the love. I mean, so.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you might not feel the hate, but you certainly feel a lot less love. And usually it is the hate you feel.
Yep, it's not a... Yeah, there's definitely some animosity involved there. They don't want to be told the truth. Well, and that's the other thing. When we go back to Revelations 18 and you read through some of that stuff, is and that's one of the things the Lord always puts in my mind is... That's why you're supposed to come out of her, is because that judgment, that series of events that goes on there is against the whore. You know, it's not against God's people. It's against the whore. But if you're in her, you're circling the drain too. You know,
absolutely.
So, you know, it's one of those things, and that's that remnant we were talking about earlier. It's important to remember that if you don't want to be in there, the pastor said one time, if you're in the toilet that is, you better get out before God flushes it. And it's true. I mean, you can see that. It's very clear there, you know, so the warning's there.
That's right. The Word says, come out of her, my people. You heard that. And that's just what it means. Earthquakes, famines, pestilence, hey, you know, they're all on the rise. The birth pangs are happening. There's an end of an age coming. And you want to be part of the remnant that gets through. And the way you do that is you come out of her, you return to Him, return to God and His Son and His way. His truth is there. The Bible says, if you seek, you will find. Now, what you do with what you find, that's a different matter. But if you seek truth, it's out there. It's out there. It's in His Word. If you seek truth, you tune into our 24 hours a day, 7 days a week broadcast, you'll hear Bible truth. It won't be politically correct. It never has been. It wasn't in the days of Christ, and it's not today. But truth is still truth. And it seems like we've read in the Bible that if you seek it, you'll find it, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
And the Bible says you will be hated, so get used to it.
Yeah. Well, it hated him. And boy, don't we see that it hates him today. More so now than I've ever seen, you know, in my lifetime. So, well, guys, we're about out of time. Sure appreciate y'all being here with us. Thanks so much for joining us. And before we get out of time, folks, we do want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. And you can do that. No, you don't have to get all dressed up and see if your suit's as fancy as my suit, because it's probably a lot fancier. But you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. You can go there at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast, there to scripturesforamerica.org, and click on the live video stream and join us. We'll have a scriptural insight for you. We'll have a welcome, and we'll have some Holy Spirit-inspired music, and you get to do communion with us. And we invite you, if you're a baptized believing Christian, to come and partake of communion with us. It's something that we are to do. And then we will have a Holy Spirit-inspired message for you. And so we encourage you to do that. We thank you for joining us. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And again, that email is, or the, I'm sorry, the website is scriptureseforamerica.org. And our email, if you want to email, is preacher@sfaw.org.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Said that he is coming in, living in a wicked world made by sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warm, we gotta win. As the days of Noah were, will come the Son of Man. Eating, drinking, marrying, just doing all they can. Then one day the Lord will come, we'll hear that trumpet sound. The lost will look for the saved, but they will not be found. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that He is coming again.